Lord, are we not
so thankful for our youth, for the old recorded worship. We're so much in debt to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for dying for us, for all the blessings He has given us. Let's thank Him this morning. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis. I began this message by studying about Joseph. And in studying about Joseph, the Lord wouldn't hardly let me get to him, maybe toward the end of the message. But some things that happened before Joseph was born kind of hinges around this morning. If you look at the life of Jacob and the life of Leah, his wife, and Rachel's life, how God ended up blessing them, but many times during their struggles, and they did go through struggles, God withheld His blessings from them. And so the story is that, yes, God's still on the throne. He'll do exceedingly abundantly more than we can even ask or think. But remember this, the title of the message. God many times withholds His blessings that He wanted to give us, but we have to come His way. And that's what we're going to learn. So many stories in the Word of God that would be true. This is one of the prime examples. How in their life God withheld their blessings. They could have had them earlier. And wouldn't it be sad for you and I to go down through life? We don't have so many days here, whether it's 70 or some live to be 100, maybe you live to be 50. And only so many allotted days that God has given us and all the blessings He has in heaven for us, but we would do something. So He would withhold those blessings from us, and He is waiting on us to come in the direction He wants us to go. We could have had them earlier, and we struggle. As Abraham struggled because he didn't always obey God. And we see now Jacob and his family are struggling. And God did have those blessings, and He will give them, but He's waiting. Let's read the story, and hopefully God will bring it to your attention and mine. And let's look at our life, how with the age we are, whether you're 15 or 50, and just kind of stop and ask God this morning, Lord, all those blessings in heaven You've got for me, promised them, didn't He? And He will deliver them. But He's waiting for you. He's waiting for me to come clean with Him, to get exactly where He wants us to be. There was jealousy involved. There was envy. God will not bless. He will withhold blessings from you that He wanted to give you until you get rid of that jealousy, envy, and strife. He just won't give those blessings to you earlier. And isn't it tragic that you can live a life with the blessings of God on you every day? And we do have His blessings, but not in totality compared to what He... Oh, He was blessing Rachel and Leah. He gave them life. He gave them His love. But the real things in life that God wanted to give them, He just withheld them for them. Let's read the account together. We say, and we don't have time to read it all, that now remember the story. You have to remember this morning the story of Jacob, how he was a surplanter. He had deceived his brother. His mother talked him into it. But yet he did it. He deceived his brother and he deceived his father. And he pretended to be Esau. And God already determined and said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Why did God do that? Because He knew in the long run Jacob would obey and serve Him, and He knew Esau didn't care a thing about him. He was willing to sell the birthright. And so Jacob had to, he thought, steal the birthright, which God had intended for him anyway. And so now he lives a life very much disarranged because he had to flee home and he had to go to another country and he never got to see his mother again. Imagine that, as a young man leaving home. When he came back, his mother had passed away. That would be a real misblessing, would it not? All because he wasn't patient and waiting on God to give what God already decreed is going to bless Jacob, the second born. But God already determined, I'm going to bless Jacob. He had that rearranged. And how many times does God have your life and mine prearranged and we do something to mess up? and to cause God to withhold the blessing. So he went to his mother and father's people, Laban's people, and there he met this beautiful young maiden called Rachel. So he worked and worked and worked and promised of a wedding night, and then when he had the wedding night, it was the sister, Leah. He's kind of getting paid back a little bit for what he had already done. He is a surplanter. He is a deceiver. He is an imposter. And now he has had the same thing happen to him. There is Leah. But he really wanted Rachel. Well, he had to work another 7 years to get Rachel. Can you imagine the strife, the jealousy, the envy that went on between those two sisters? And it was caused by Laban the father, but it was really caused by Jacob, that he was not willing to just wait on God and let God give him what he wanted to give him anyway. So the blessings we have. So let's read the account together. Now, Leah and Rachel both finally are the brides of Jacob. And let's read the text together in the 29th chapter of the book of Genesis, verse 31. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. See, God's in control. Leah now, she had been ordered by her father to be the bride. It wasn't necessarily her fault. Yeah, she deceived him also, but God had already was repaying. And now she's hated. She's really hated by Jacob. She's hated by her sister. And God is the one that's going to repay. And God's the one that's going to orchestrate. So God saw the hatred everybody had for Leah, and so he opens up her womb, and children start to be born. Remember, there was four boys born to start with. Let's read the account together in the 32nd verse. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my afflictions. Now therefore my husband will love me. Should have loved her to start with. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also, and she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now, this time will my husband be joined unto me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, and left barren. And by now she had built up a hatred for her sister Rachel. Oh, you say, well, she was justified in doing that. No, we're never justified in jealousy, envy, bitterness. So God closed up her womb. We see the story now starting to unfold. God is in charge. He's in charge of giving birth. He's in charge of the children that are born. He's in charge of everything. And what we're in charge is our attitude toward others and toward God. And we surely, every one of us this morning, was to God, I need your blessings. Surely we would admit that. But we have to realize that God will withhold those blessings from us until we're willing to get rid of some bitterness, some jealousy, some envying. It's a wonderful story that relates to you and I and our living. I know God has spoken more in his word about others' mistakes than he has about them doing right. You know why? Because more people do wrong than do right, I guess. But God wanted us to know in detail how people believed, how they lived, how they had jealousy, envy. And he did all scriptures in, given for inspiration and reproof. And it's given so we can see our mistakes also. It's not just about Leah. It's not about Rachel. It's not just about Jacob as much as it's about those that study this story and understand that God's still the same. And he wants to bless you. And he wants to prosper you. And he's got all those laid up in heaven. But he will withhold those until we come his way. Let's see when things start, really begin to unfold. Now we have Rachel in the story. She's puffed up. She's bitter. And the more children that's born of her sister Leah, the more jealous she becomes. It's God that has closed up the wound of Rachel so far because of her jealousy, because of her envy. And she has to come to realize that she must acknowledge that God is in control. And not only is he in control, she's tried everything in her power. But one thing that she did not do that would have been in her power is to forgive and to acknowledge that things are just as well as they are. God's in control, and I have to get my attitude straight now. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 30 and verse 23. 30, verse 23 and 24. Now let's go back and read that thing. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me because I have borne him six sons. And she called his name Zebulun. Boy, you would think by now Jacob would understand really the love of his life was Rachel. But now Leah, the sister, has had seven sons and Rachel's still barren. Why? Because God closed up her wound. But when's God going to open it? When she starts acknowledging and realizing that I can't bear this hatred anymore. The Bible says, and Leah said, verse 20, God hath endued me with a great dowry. God is the one that did it. It wasn't her. It wasn't Jacob. It was God that gave. And if you have anything worth anything, it'll be God that gives it. And God will give it and stop withholding his blessings when you and I come his way and get rid of all that envy, all that hatred, all that bitterness and say, well, they've done me wrong, and don't ever even think the fact that God's done you wrong. That would be an impossibility. If the thought even comes there, dismiss it real quick. God cannot do wrong. He's done right. He's doing right. And he will do right. And the devil don't want you to believe that. He started telling Eve that God didn't do you right because he's withholding from you some things that would make you more like him. You could be a God yourself. So Satan's a liar. And you and I ought to realize that God is true and let every man be a liar. And now we're going to see when things start happening. When God starts changing and giving us those blessings will be after you and I come his way. Verse 21, and afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. And God remembered Rachel, verse 22, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. When God starts adding to us, let's look at the text. God will withhold those blessings until we understand and acknowledge that he is God. It's he that has all the things in his control. So she named her son Joseph. And the name Joseph, Jehovah, God has added. Then she says, Jehovah will add. When will God start adding his blessings? There was a real blessing that God opened up her wound. It was God that had closed her wound. It was God that opened her wound. And now she named him Joseph. Jehovah will add. Will add what? Will add blessings. And stop withholding his blessings when I start acknowledging and I understand that things are just like they are. It's not God's fault. It's my fault. It's Jacob's fault. Jacob was a serf planter. He's getting what God thought he deserved. And now Rachel, his first love, has borne a son. And she says, in faith, God not only has added, but God will add to me another son. And he did. Later on, his name was Benjamin. Benjamin, son of thy right hand. But the tragedy is that before after the son was delivered, Rachel died. God had withheld his blessings from Rachel, from Jacob, because Jacob wanted nothing more than to see his beloved wife, Rachel, have those sons. So let's look at some things now this morning. Now God has added his blessings. and taken away the reproach when she started acknowledging who God was in supreme control of the whole situation. It was God that closed. It's God that opened. It's God. And God has begun to bless. And not only did he begin to bless, give me Jacob, but he will continue blessing me. He will give me another son. And he did. But let's look at five things now that has happened. And when God starts adding blessings, what really changes? What changes in your life and mine when we finally get rid of the bitterness, the envy, the strife, whatever it is that has caused God to withhold his blessing? It may be none of those. It may be people's unwillingness to completely comply on what God told you to do. Whatever it is, God will let you know why I am withholding some blessings. And you might say, well, God has blessed me, and he has. God has exceedingly more blessings for us than we can even imagine. So let's search your heart this morning and see what God would reveal to each one of us individually about what we could do to completely come his way and acknowledge that God is in complete control of every detail of my life. Whether or not the womb was closed or not, that was up to God. It wasn't up to her. Look at Genesis chapter 24, or 30 in verse 24 again. See, this is only the true beginning. When was the beginning with her? When God took away the reproach? When she had that beloved son, Joseph. Look at verse 25. Some other things started happening. And when you have a new beginning, it was a new beginning with Jacob also, because he had longed for the day. He had longed before he even married Leah. He had longed for the day that he and Rachel could come together and God would give a child. 14 years later, he opens up the womb. How many years and how many months has many of us perhaps gone through and God has withheld blessings? 4 years, 14 years, 40 years. Isn't it about time we just say, God, I want to acknowledge you in every aspect of my life. Stop blaming you for closing my wound, Rachel. Stop blaming Leah for jumping in front. Stop blaming Jacob. Stop blaming your dad, Laban. It's God that controls everything. And God will give us blessings or delay those blessings many times based upon what our attitude and what our acknowledgement of him is. Her attitude had been all wrong, and now she's finally come to the place to acknowledge him. Look at verse 25. When you have that new beginning and you come God's way, you start wanting to separate from the world real quick. Verse 25. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph. See, this was a new beginning. The word Joseph means God added. God has begun to add, and God will continue to add. So what do I have to do? I have to start separating from the world because I've not acknowledged God. My attitude's right, and now I'm in that new beginning. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, that's the father-in-law, send me away that I may go unto my own place and to my country. He has been out here in the world, so to speak, for a long time. It's time and high time I separate myself from the world and head back toward my country where God wants to bless me continually. When did it start? When Joseph was born and Jehovah had begun to start adding. And the addition and the blessings will continue when you keep separating from the world. And the second thing, what else will happen when you separate from the world? You'll start seeking after God and the things of God. Laban, I've been here long enough. The world, the worship, and all you're doing over here, it's worldly. I'm separating myself from that, and I'm seeking the Lord my God. When did it start? When Joseph was born, and God has added and will continue to add, and I've got to do some things now. Look at the differences it makes when God starts adding and blessing your life. He's withheld them for a long time. He had a right to do it. He was just in doing it. But now that the blessings have begun, then you and I have to come our way, and that's to separate from the things of the world. Turn to chapter 33 and verse 2. Chapter 33 and verse 2. Now Jacob had finally got away from Laban. He's headed back. He's seeking the God that had first told him he would bless him, the God of his father Abraham, the God of his father Isaac. He's going back home. He's got a large dowry now. He's got 11 sons, and he has the blessings of God on his life, and another one's coming. And so he starts back home. Look at the second verse of chapter 33 in the book of Genesis. Look at verse 1 also. And Jacob lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children to Leah and to Rachel and to the two handmaids. Here he comes with his family. But there he meets the one he had deceived. He's got 400 men. Is he coming after him to kill him and his family? Let's see what happens. He separated himself from the world. He's seeking after God. And the next thing you want to do is to shield from the world and for the potential harm out there. You want to shield all that God has given you. Stop and ask this morning, what has God given me? Look at the blessings he's already given you. Children, grandchildren, homes, houses, health, whatever he's given you. Now that he's given to you, you have separated from the world, you're seeking him, and you must shield everything God's given you from those that potentially would take it away from you. Esau, remember, he's not worshiping the true God. He won't no part. I don't desire the blessings of God. Jacob, you can have them. I don't want anything to do with God. And here he comes with 400 men. Look what happens as he starts shielding. Verse 2, and he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and his children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times, until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Sounds to me like there's been a lot of forgiveness going on. No doubt Jacob has asked forgiveness to God for the deception he had caused. But now God has moved. Why? Why would God do that when God has already determined that Esau is not going to serve me. He's not going to follow me. I'm going to bless Jacob and his family. But yet he put within the potential enemy's heart the forgiveness also. Nonetheless, Jacob is going to shield his family. That which God has given him, he's going to shield them from all the potential dangers. Keep reading. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, "Who are those with thee?" And he said, "The children which God has graciously given that servant." Then the handmaidens came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. Just think, Jacob is meeting his potential enemy that could have killed him, 400 men with him, and he could have destroyed him, no doubt, had it not been for the hand of God that put in Esau's heart to forgive. And now he is saying, "Who are those?" Ask yourself a question. Just look back at all the things God has given you up to this present day. Not only up until this present day, remember Joseph means God will continue to add. And God has added to you blessings and to me blessings, and God will continue to add those blessings. And let your mind go back and try to comprehend just a little bit. You don't have a lot of time. All the many blessings God has bestowed upon you and your family up to this present day. Isn't that staggering? Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. And yet Satan would take it away. Your job and mine is to acknowledge God and to seek his face and separate from the world and do our best to shield all that God has given us from the potential harm and destruction that Satan would cause. But look at verse 7. He's now seeing his children already doing their best to seek his face and humble themselves. When will your children humble themselves? When they see you doing it. When will they start seeking the God that you've been seeking with all your heart? When they see you doing it. When will your children hopefully start separating themselves from the world and turning to God? When they see you and I doing it. When will you start doing it? When God starts forgiving you what he wants to do, and you seek his face and ask him, Lord, I want to get rid of every envy, every strife, every lie, everything in my life, jealousy that bundled up, whatever it is. I don't know why God gave this message. This message to me this morning to give to you, not my business. It's God's business. But look closely now. As a children, he is seeing his children start to humble themselves. He was the first to bow and ask forgiveness, and now look at them in verse 6. Then the handmaidens came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. All of the children now, and he is seeing all the children and everything he has that he's shielding with all his might, bow themselves and submit theirself. And they realize and acknowledge that God's in control of our lives. We see his handiwork. They looked upon all that God had given Jacob and he had given them. Now they have left the world, separated from the world, so to speak, and they're seeking the God of their father. And they're in complete submission. Look at verse 7. And Leah also with her children came and bowed themselves. They are submitting themselves to the leadership of God. We realize that Esau had 400 men and could have slain us all. That numbers us a whole lot. He's got weapons. So we have to submit ourselves to God. He is our protector. It's not us and our strength. The only blessings that we have that's worth anything is that which comes from God, and God wants to stop withholding those blessings. And you might say again, well, God's already blessed me, and he has. But just think how many more blessings he's got from you and I. And what would he do? Nehemiah's already been blessed. We were told in the Word of God. He acknowledged that I'm going to serve God, and he did. And then the book of Malachi, he identifies and he gets a glimpse of heaven and sees all the blessings in the storehouse. And God lets him communicate with you and I and says how I would open up the windows of heaven and they must be full of blessings. Think about the blessings of God, the windows of heaven, and I want to bestow them upon my children. He said, but they would not. Would you stand this morning, your heads bound? They were striving now, the children are striving for reconciliation. They know their father has been in the outs, first of all with Laban. He's been in the outs with Leah. He's even got mad at Rachel because she was saying, if God doesn't open my wound, I'm going to die. And he screams back at her and says, what are you talking to me for? It's God that closed your wound. You got to start asking him. And God did. And now the children have submitted themselves. Jacob is seeing it. And now they're seeking reconciliation. Your heads are bowed. Piano organist, please come. And this morning, you may be praying and seeking God's face. But God wants complete reconciliation. Wouldn't you seek it this morning? I mean, God just come level with him. And I know you've got some things for me that you've got laid up that I haven't come to grips with in my life. And you better know that you won't get them until you do what God wants you to do, whatever it is. It could be bitterness, strife, envy, jealousy. that's got to get gone real quick. And God's grace will let that get gone. Somebody's harmed you. Somebody's hurt you. I'm talking to you this morning. God has said, I've got blessings for you. I've got blessings for this church. I want to give my blessings to you, but I will not until some things get resolved. Why? I don't know. I'm telling you, but God will tell you why it is. Seek his face. The blessings started and the differences started making in their lives when Joseph was born. And Rachel realized God has started adding his blessings and will continue adding those blessings as long as I start seeking him, serving him, separating. And I see my children and I'll see that they're seeking reconciliation. Let God search your heart this morning. Don't be ashamed to come. Would you want God to open up the windows of heaven and bestow upon you those blessings that he has your name on, that he wants to give you, but he'll keep withholding them until you completely acknowledge that everything is just like it is because God ordered it. And if things haven't been going my way, it's not his fault, it's mine. And God, give me a new attitude. An attitude of gratitude. Let this be in the stillness of the hour, your time to come clean with God. Jacob did. Leah did. Rachel did. God started adding his blessings to that family like never before. Lord Jesus, in the stillness of the hour, we seek your faith. And God, we don't serve you just for the blessings, but we know those blessings are there. You want to bless us. You desire to bless us. But you cannot, nor you will not, until we get attitude straightened out towards you and start acknowledging, start understanding that we have to come your way completely, separate ourselves from the world, and seek after the things of God and search. And our children will be in submission to your lordship. And they will start seeking to reconcile everything, maybe in their lives, between them and yourself. Lord, when will it all happen? You told us real clearly when it will happen. When we come your way and submit ourselves and acknowledge our sins and ask your forgiveness, let this be the time. You're waiting on us. You've already done what you're going to do. Now you're waiting on us. Help us, Father. Help us, oh God. Keep our hearts tender and our hearts pure before a holy God, that you may bless, save lost souls, and stir in our midst. In Jesus' name, for your sake and for your glory alone, amen. Everyone mind the Lord this morning. I don't know what time it is. I never look at my watch until after I'm done preaching. I don't look at it now because I don't have one. But you've been very, very at ease this morning. Very gracious. God's moved. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All minds and hearts clear, Brother Gunn, if you'll come pray with us. And while he's praying, if the new membership committee would come and stand, and all those, as soon as he prayed, you can start now, that would like to unite with their church by letter, by baptism. You've been saved, but you've never been baptized. You want to join church. You want to move your membership by letter or by statement or by baptism. This will be the time. Come talk to them. They'll arrange a time for us to talk to you. Why you want to talk to us? A lot of people want to join a church in the last several years, and found out many of them were not saved. So that is one requirement, the first one, saved and a member of his body before you become a member of local church. And then you might want to ask questions. What do we believe? We believe the book. We'll tell you that. And we want to make sure we understand what you believe. So if you'd like to do that, and if God puts it on your heart, now's the time to do it. Brother Gary.
In the table out there beside the office where the CDs and DVDs are at, there's some extra packages there of past revival services, some of the greatest preachers that you'll ever hear. But we brought those in that we'd had left over before we send them out to missionaries all over the world. And they're there for your taking, like all the CDs and DVDs are. So feel free to take what you'd like to have. And we appreciate it. I'd be remiss this morning if I didn't thank the good Lord for my wife being able to be back with us today. And thankful for that. The doctors had suggested her to stay in because of the flu that was so raging this winter. And she's continuous on chemo, and so her immune system's low. But she's able to be here, and we're thanking God for that. What she feels like she's been let out of a cage. She's missed church so badly. Thank each one for your prayers. We love each one of you.
And Brother Gary, we thank you, Miss Gill, for doing that ministry, for the tapes, for the DVDs. And even when she was not able to do it, she kept on doing it. Thank you, Miss Gill.
Has God not been good to us?
Yes.
We bless his name. Father, we want to thank you this morning for your mercy, for your grace, for your long suffering. Thank you, Father, that for your blessings that you have blessed us with. Lord, I pray, God, that we could get our hearts right, Lord, that we could seek you. Father, we could separate ourselves. Father, we could shield the things that you've given us. And Father, we could just expect and see the things to come. Lord, you've been good to this church. You've been good, Father, to us individual families. Lord, you've been good to us by sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to forgive us of our sins. And Lord, I thank you most of all for that. Lord, you know the needs of the congregation. I'm thankful you're large enough to meet those needs. And Lord, I pray that you'd do it for your honor and for your glory. Be with us, and probably be with us as we come back this afternoon. We'll bless you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.